In this mindful swim meditation, I would like to introduce you to the idea of keeping your attention on just a particular sensation in the body while you're swimming. In sitting meditation, we would use the breath as one of the most simple points of attention, practicing keeping our attention in this particular area. And with the breath, you would feel it coming in, you'd feel it going out, you'd even likely pay attention to one particular part of the breathing process, like air going in through your nose and through the sinuses and out through the nose and sinuses, or you could feel it in your throat, or you could feel the rib cage expanding and contracting, you know, getting smaller. You could feel the diaphragm contracting or expanding. So you would keep your attention on that one particular sensation, and you would do it at just the level of just simply taking in sensory information, the sound, the feeling of vibration, or the stretching. You have different kinds of nerve cells in the body that register different kinds of interactions with the environment. So there is temperature, and there is pressure, and there is pain, and there is chemical receptors. There's a couple more in there too that are not coming to the top of my head right now. But anyways, if you were to be breathing, you could feel the brush of air against the hair follicles in your nose. You could feel the temperature of the cool air coming in and the warm air coming out. You could feel mechanical receptors registering changes in the positioning of the muscle fibers. There's baroreceptors too that can feel pressure. So you'd feel the pressure change in the lungs, where a negative pressure when you exhale and then positive pressure when you inhale. So that all these ways that your body is constantly monitoring changes inside, changes of position and the changes of pressure and chemistry. You could even notice as you're breathing variable heart rate variability. So on your exhale, the heart rate would slow down slightly. On the inhale, the heart rate would increase slightly. So just in breathing meditation, there's all these things that you can notice about the body that if you hadn't been trained to do sitting meditation, you wouldn't even realize all of these things are going on. You would have probably very little other cause to stop and ponder and notice these little details about how the body operates and little changes. And it also increases your sensitivity and your awareness of changes in the body throughout the rest of the day. You could be going along and you'll just notice that your heart, your chest feels tighter, your breathing is faster, tighter, or shorter. Your heart rate is a little bit higher. It feels like more pressure in your chest. And then that would alert you like, oh, what in my environments or what in my interactions has altered my body state away from the peaceful state that I was in earlier today. And that can be very insightful. In swimming, we can lay down in the water, and similar to the breath, you could even use the breath if you wanted. You could just concentrate on your breathing, which is something I do highly recommend if you are in a situation in cold water, for instance, and the cold water is shocking enough that it's taking the breath away. It feels like it's taking the breath away. Or in a race situation, you feel really nervous and anxious, and whether it's positive or negative, and there's all the excitement in the air, and you jump into the water and you start going, it's very easy for us to hyperventilate or to have exaggerated motions or go out too fast. in all of that excitement, that nervous energy. So doing breathing exercises, controlled breathing, restrained breathing in the beginning of a race like that is really helpful. Basically, it's a form of just breathing meditation. So when you get in the pool and you want to do a meditation session or part of your warm-up, you can then lay down, start moving, and you just choose a part of the body that you want to focus in on and create, and then simply observe the sensations in that part of the body. So I'm often, when I get in, first thing I'm looking for is my head and my spine, not merely positionally, but also just seeing that they're aligned and that the middle of my body feels stretched and the muscle tone is there, and there's a certain sensation that I get when my body's really long and firm, when I have moved away from being loose like a noodle and now I'm this long, unified torso unit. So there'd be certain sensations that I look for there, and I could concentrate on those for maybe the first 5 or 8 minutes. And then I'll move to the feelings in my shoulders to feel certain characteristics there. Some days I may be preparing to do sprint work and I know that I'm going to be more of a shoulder driven stroke. Not by intention, I'm trying to resist that, but nonetheless I know that those particular muscles there when I'm doing sprint work are going to work a little bit differently than when I'm doing distance work, and where I'm going to tap more, it's going to be easier for me to tap into the deeper torso muscles for that stroke. So I'll be paying attention to those, not merely the muscles, but the connection between muscles from the arm into the shoulder and down into the torso. I'll be just observing how smooth they feel, how coordinated they feel in gentle strokes. And I'll be going along stroke after stroke, length after length, simply tuning into that connection, that coordination, and then protecting it, just going over and over and over again, just having it stay consistent as the pattern is kind of etching into my nervous system that morning. Now, another little detail about this is that if we're going along and swimming, we're simply observing and maybe making little adjustments to stay in that zone of a certain sensation. Now, what I mean by observing is that you're simply paying attention to the information coming from your nervous system. You have in your mind an idea of what you want it to feel like, and you make small adjustments to bring it in that direction. But you are not making judgments about your body or yourself. You're not saying, oh, this is good or this is bad, or you're not saying, oh, I'm so well coordinated today, or I'm so poorly coordinated today. You are staying away from, you're backing away from, you're letting go of making positive, negative judgments about your body or yourself. You're not saying good or bad, better or worse, in this moral or ethical or performance sense. You are simply observing what the body is doing, knowing that you're allowing it to just move in a connected and peaceful way, making little adjustments, but you are letting go of any emotional connection, an emotional connection that says, I want this or I don't want this, I like this or I don't like this. You just simply are operating in, the body needs to feel this way and I'm going to just help it be that way. Does that make sense? It's a subtle distinction, but it's important. You have a goal in mind. You want the body to feel a certain way, and you're making a judgment. So you're taking in feedback, and you're assessing, going, oh, the body is moving this way, or it's not. Oh, my mind is focusing easily today, or it's not. And then you just make little adjustments to help it move in the direction that it needs to be. But you stop short of building up a judgment towards those things, like, oh, I'm really lousy today, or this is going really well today, or this is not. You just let go of that. If it comes up, you let go. If you sense that it's available to you to do that, but you're not doing it yet, then you just refrain from making those judgments. And so you stay, you keep your brain, literally, if we were to monitor brain activity and which parts of the brain and how it was operating, you would keep the brain operating in only certain parts of the brain that were interacting with the sensory inputs, and you would keep low activation in other areas that are involved in judgment and emotional response and these things that make us feel good or worse about something we're experiencing. So this becomes very helpful in other areas of life because you're practicing response inhibition. So this is the ability to take in information and work with it, but not get caught up in it. Staying somewhat neutral. And this is very useful if you were to get into more intense training, more difficult training, more uncomfortable training. This allows you to actually go further into discomfort before your resources are depleted. Because once you kick in the judgments, those start sucking up a lot more energy as well. And that's where the stronger dialogue comes from that urges you to quit and to back away from good but uncomfortable efforts. So super elite athletes, those that have trained through over years and years and years, and those who are very successful, these people tend to have really strong response inhibition skills. Whether it just came through their training itself, but also those who practice meditation in certain ways can develop a stronger response inhibition. And you and I, even in just simple, even not in even in extreme or extremely intense or uncomfortable swimming, we can still be practicing response inhibition because it is something that applies not only in intense efforts, but in low efforts, just simply how you respond to information. You can stay a little bit more objective about the information coming in and tone down the subjective responses to that information. And that becomes very useful. You can always turn on subjective responses. Your ability to do that never goes away. It's just you become more in control of when and how much you give yourself to those subjective responses. So it's very interesting. There's a lot more to say on that about meditation, but I just simply wanted to encourage you in the water that you can practice this pure sensory form of meditation as you're interacting with your body. Just a few examples of places that I like to focus on. When you're swimming along, you can think of just armpits opening up on each stroke. Just feel that little stretch there of the shoulder opening up, and also a little space opening up between each rib as that little part of your chest opens up on each extension. You could think of your torso being a solid unit, the hips and shoulders being connected, and each rotation, you feel that solid torso unit rotating as one from side to side. You can think of any of the synchronization points, the entry hand and the catch hand working together. You can think of the foot and the hip. You can think of the foot and the extension. You can think of the foot and the catch hand. You can think of the catch and the hip. You can think of the hip and the entry, and feel the sensations of those two linked together, connected together, coordinated tightly. And even if you're not good at those connections, even if you don't know exactly what you're supposed to be doing in those connections, you still can benefit from this. You simply observe what is happening. Even if you don't know how to adjust it and make it better, or you haven't received instruction on that yet, simply observing the connections there, stroke after stroke after stroke, and just kind of building a map, a sensory map of what your current stroke is doing, what it feels like, that'll serve you later on when you do get instruction or you do get better insight as to how to how to coordinate that connection in your body, the map isn't going to interfere. It's actually going to help you, because now you'll have this strong way to compare, a strong map to compare with. And when you make an adjustment in a certain intentional direction, you'll now feel a new pattern of sensation in that part of the body, and you can compare it to your old map to the new one, and that will be that'll help you identify where you want to go and when your body's slipping back to an old pattern. So again, just in very practical terms, using this kind of form of meditation of simply observing sensations in particular parts of the body can be very, very useful to you right in the moment for making a more enjoyable, more peaceful swim, a better warm-up, but also in the long term at helping you become much more sensitive to small or subtle patterns and sensations in the body. All right, hope that's an encouragement to you and give you some ideas for how to experiment in the pool. Take care.